Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's no secret that we've been going through a storm. That's no secret at all. December, our brother Keith went home to be with the Lord. June, our brother George goes home to be with the Lord. And in between time, Brother Mike, Dr. Upman dies, and then Brother Mike's brother had passed away at 24 years old. And then we had a baby born in the middle of that. Then we had a wedding, and I think there was a couple weddings in there. And then my father-in-law died, and, you know, stuff like that we've been going through. I feel like we've been hit so many times. I feel like I've been hit so many times. And I walk around going, God, whew, Lord. And, you know, you start saying, what in the world, Lord? What in the world is going on? But Jesus said stuff would happen. And things are going to go on, and that's the way it is. I mean, you know, you're going to go through hard times. You're going to go through times of discouragement. And I thought about, about the church, our church, the local church. I mean, I believe in the church as the assembly of believers. And then we got the local church, which is our local church assembly here. And our local church here has been hit. But then I've talked to preachers at different places, and they've been hit. There's a revival going on down in North Carolina. And people are getting saved and all that, and things are happening. And I told Jesse this morning, I believe God's honoring North Carolina because they honor God in the sense of they wouldn't allow this transgender junk to go on. And I believe that. I believe that God's honored North Carolina. And the Lord's moving. And North Carolina's always been a Bible Belt. And you could always have, you know, whenever we used to go to camp, we went to North Carolina. I mean, we went down there, and we got a little bit of that, brought it back here. But when I was going to Tabernacle in South Carolina, I got some of that. I got some of that down in Bible Baptist down in Pensacola, old-time religion. And I believe in that. Amen. I believe in old-time religion. And I believe in shouting and praising God. I believe the old book, and I believe in what we ought to stand for and biblical truths. We're, like I said, we're in the battle. And we've got to put on our big panties and go on. Amen. And I hate to say that word, panty. I hate that word. But anyway, we got to do that. And we got to fight on. And it doesn't stop. Our church doesn't stop now. I feel like Peyton Manning when he got his neck broke, and then he had an operation. Everybody thought he was done, and then he came back and won the Super Bowl. I hope we can win a Super Bowl, amen. And I hope we can continue and allow the church. And maybe, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, this either makes you or breaks you, and we're gonna have to let it make us, not break us. And we've been through some hard things, and we got families hurting in here. We've got families going through troubles and trials, and maybe facing divorce, and maybe facing some other things. A couple families and going through stuff, getting calls and going out. And like I said, people calling me up depressed and discouraged and all that stuff. And there's going to be more and more of that. And I ask God to help me be strong. And the Bible says to put on the whole armor of God. And that's what we're supposed to do. But the church is still moving on. The church of Jesus Christ is still moving on. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And like I said, we're soldiers, and we feel like giving up. You feel like quitting at times. And the church, the Lord said, you know, here, if we read the passage, the Lord talked about the gates of hell prevailing against the church. Now, the church is supposed to be offensively going straight forward. Defensively, right now, we've been in the defensive mode. We've been defending what we've been trying to do. We haven't really been in the offense like we should. They always say a football team, they say, oh, defense wins football team games. Offense wins the football games. I think it's both, amen? Yeah. I think you got to have a good defense. You got to have a good offense. Yeah. If you don't have a quarterback that can lead and throw the ball, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. And if you don't have a defense that can hold them off and keep them from or get into the other quarterback and all that stuff, you're not going to win football games if they're going to score up on you. And in a way, it's kind of like the church. We're supposed to have an offense and a defense. We're supposed to be, right now, like I said, we've been in the defense mode. We've been going backwards. And they've been pushing us back. And now what we got to do is get back into offense. We got to get back, start pushing back. Amen? And, man, the devil's been coming at us. I mean, things happening. I don't know if it's us or maybe something we've done or maybe there was just like Jesus said. He said about a guy, they said, Lord, whose fault was this guy born blind? Who was it? And the Lord said, it wasn't nobody's fault. It was just for the glory of God. And I believe some of the stuff we've been going through has been for the glory of God. Even though it hurts, even though we're going through some stuff, I can't think of any reason why the Lord would take Brother Keith, Brother George, other than the Lord wanted them more than we wanted them, amen? Yeah. And that's what God wanted. He wanted to take them home, be with him. And I don't understand. I said, Lord, we need more soul. We need men. We miss them, man. We miss them because they were pillars in the house of God. Yeah. And thank God for the pillars that we have or still have. And I thank God some other men stepped up and started trying to step into place and not trying to take their place. Nobody can take George's place. Nobody can take Keith's place. But, I mean, some men to step up and be what they ought to be for God's glory. But look at Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 13, or actually 17. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And what he's saying, look, verse 13, Jesus said, When Jesus came on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, said, Whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist. I mean, great man, John the Baptist. And they said, and then he said, Some say Elias, and others said Jeremias. I mean, they likened Jesus Christ to a great prophet's vole. That's what they likened. Some say other prophets. And they were likening Jesus Christ to other men and other prophets. And they were saying he was a great man. But Simon Peter steps up, and Simon Peter says something, and he says a mouthful. And he said on them, By whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, Peter, man, you know, he stands up, even though he put his foot in his mouth so many times, he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, Peter made some mistakes in life. I mean, Peter's done some stupid things. And Peter ends up doing another thing in the Bible near the end. And then he gets discouraged and quits. And then he goes fishing, you know. And then the Lord, Jesus Christ, went after him. And look what the Bible says in verse 17. Jesus answered, said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Now he's saying, you're Peter. And then he says, And upon this rock, not talking about Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's talking about himself. He was talking about when Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he's saying, Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the gates of hell, I mean, think about that. Look on the next verse, 19. And then he says, And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then charged he disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. Now, this is before his crucifixion and all that, but he said this about the church. He said, the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, a lot of people take that as the church is supposed to be in a defensive mode all the time and, you know, be always backing up or always just standing still or holding off the gates of hell. The devil is not fighting us with the gates of hell. What he's saying is saying the gates of hell shall not prevail. We're supposed to be attacking. We're supposed to be going after that. And, you know, as soldiers, Jesus Christ, we're supposed to have a purpose in life to go after the gates of hell. I mean, we're supposed to be charging them, man. I mean, I remember Jack Woods said, he said this one time. He said, if you got a good wife and you got a good woman and got a good family, he said, man, you can charge the gates of hell with a water gun and a water pistol. And he said, man, and prevail. And he's saying, what are you saying, man? God has blessed us and God's given us great things and what we're all supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be in the attack mode. We're supposed to be going forward and offense. And the church is supposed to be moving forward, not backing up. I mean, God's given the church church. Therefore, he says, the church is subject unto Christ, so let their wives be in their own husbands and everything. We got the church is kind of getting out of whack as a whole, the church is. But I'm talking about the Bible-believing local church. As a Bible-believing local church, Faith Baptist Church, we're supposed to be on the attack, and I'm not saying going out being sarcastic and being rude and hard to people, but there's some people out there, man, need Jesus Christ. I mean, they're desperate. They're looking for answers, and, man, we got the answers. And we're sitting in a building today. We got answers, man. We got answers in the Word of God. I don't understand why the Lord's taking the loved ones. I don't understand all that. I don't understand why some of the great men that God's given this church is gone. But I'll tell you what, I know this, that God wants us to step up and keep going forward. That's what we're supposed to do as a church. The church has a purpose. And the purpose is not just to build a big building and get a big crowd. That's just not the purpose of a church. I like bigness. I like to see things happen. But I'll tell you what, that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church, man, is to see people saved and pray one for another. And I mean, sacrifice and stand for biblical truth and stand for holiness, stand for what's right. I mean, stand for holy living, stand for getting off drugs and getting off the drinking and all that stuff. And the way the purpose of the church is going to accomplish these things is through prayer. And that's one thing we lack in this day and time is prayer. We're sitting there, man, when we go to bed at night, we pray a couple seconds and we go to bed. Maybe some people don't even pray. You get up in the morning, don't pray. You don't spend time in prayer. And we come to church. Prayer meeting is Wednesday night. How many of y'all know that? Prayer meeting is Wednesday night. Well, where you at? Prayer time for the church. I mean, the church has a purpose, and the church has a purpose in prayer. And a preacher said one time, he said, all failures in life, in this life as a Christian, he said, are prayer failures. Right. Are prayer failures. We don't pray like we should. We're supposed to be on the attack. We're supposed to be going forward. We're supposed to be soldiers. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn there. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us as soldiers of Jesus Christ. And I've had to say, God, help me, Lord. Because I've been backing up, and getting hit, and backing up, and thinking, man, oh, man. I mean, you watch the Rocky movie. I mean, the guy finally, he gets hit, and finally gets mad and comes back, and he starts winning a little bit. And that's what the church ought to be doing. We've been getting hit. We ought to come back, amen, and start doing the fighting. See, people say, well, I used to do that. I mean, I don't want to hear about what we used to do. Let's do what we're doing now. I mean, people talk about what we used to do, what the church was, and what we're doing now. Offensively, what are we doing? Are we going to win? Or are we going to go forward? And the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And that's what we've been doing. Against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all the sand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You know, the Bible talks about in the Old Testament, they were praying. Moses prayed. Solomon prayed. When people pray, God changes things. When we start getting desperate in prayer, the Bible tells us in Timothy, pray without ceasing. I mean, it tells us to pray and make supplication for all men. It tells us to pray that God would intercede on behalf of other folks. And what happens is we lack a time of prayer in our lives. We don't pray. We don't spend time. And the Bible says pray over here in Ephesians chapter 6. It says pray. I go back to it here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. People call me all the time and say, preacher, will you pray? I mean, get text, pray. And sometimes you see it on Facebook. People say, praying. But how much are we praying? We say, well, praying. Oh, God bless them, help them. And then there's no more. We just go on about life. We don't spend no time in prayer. We don't spend quality time in prayer. I mean, if the church has a purpose, and the purpose of the church is to pray. Pray. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. Our Bible tells us here over in Jude chapter 1. Look, take your Bible, look over in Jude chapter 1. Look what it says in Jude chapter 1. It says this. It says, beloved, verse 20, but ye, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. When's the last time we prayed in the Holy Ghost? When's the last time we prayed in the Holy Ghost? You felt God's presence. Amen. I mean, you felt, answer to prayer.
Yes, sir.
We got folks, man, desperate, needing help. They need help. Man, they got addiction problems. They got alcohol problems. They got family problems. They got, man, marital problems. They got all kinds of problems. When's the last time we prayed in the Holy Ghost as a church? When's the last time we got a hold of God? What happened was we've been backing up, and we go, well, sometimes we go, what's the use? There is use for it. Man, people call me, preacher, will you pray? And I think when I get off the phone, I pray, but I think, how much time have they prayed? How much time have they asked God to do something? I mean, how many folks came in here this morning expecting God to move and expecting God to have his way, and you prayed?
Amen.
We walk in the door with our coffee in our hand, and we walk in, we're about half dead, and come in, oh, God, I had a rough weekend. Give me something, preacher, help me something, way. We haven't prayed. We haven't prayed, God, give me something. God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I mean, God, I need something from you.
Amen.
And God, help me to help somebody else this morning.
Yes, sir.
We come in half cocked and half don't even know what we're doing half the time, and we're not praying.
Right.
We got, man, our deacons need to pray. Our trustees need to pray.
Amen.
Our folks need to pray. Sunday school teachers need to pray for your class.
Yes, sir.
Junior church teachers need to pray. Ask God to get hold of those kids.
Sir.
So we used to. What happened to now? What happened to now? He says, being praying in the Holy Ghost. When's the last time? The purpose of the church is to prayer. You know what Jesus said? He said, my house is called the house of what?
Prayer.
What?
Prayer.
You made a den of thieves. Our purpose of the church is to build, but it's to pray. I mean, I like bigness. But if bigness is the answer, then the Catholic Church has got everybody beat. The Catholic Church has got, whether the Pope says anything, there are thousands and thousands of people there. Bigness is not the answer. Prayer. The old-time religion, when it came down to old-time religion, it was the people that knew how to get hold of God. How much time did you pray for the service this morning before you came? I mean, you got families falling apart. You got people on drugs. You got folks out drinking. People doing this and doing that. Kids, running around at night, doing all kinds of things. Save kids. Kids, living like the world, acting like the world. I mean, man, talking like the world. Got the music going in the ears. And they don't want to hear nothing about God. We got a generation now of kids that are raised in Bible-believing Baptist churches don't want to have nothing to do with God. They don't want nothing to do with God. So what is going to change that? Prayer.
Yes, sir.
Prayer. And mom and daddy's not being hypocrites.
Amen.
And living for God.
Amen.
What happens is, a lot of times the kids say, and what happens, they get, and I'm not for all the rules and regulations and putting on everybody. I mean, the church, when Jesus said, he said, I'm the good shepherd, and I feed the sheep. He told Simon Peter, he said, feed the sheep. You know what most preachers do? They beat the sheep. They don't feed the sheep. They beat them. They make them to do that. And you know what? A pastor is supposed to be a leader and leading the sheep, not beating the sheep.
Yeah.
Jesus said, if you love me, you'll feed my sheep. We got a bunch of churches falling apart because they're beating the sheep rather than feeding the sheep.
Yeah.
And we, man, build the church. The purpose of the church, man, is to get people saved. To have an offense and a defense. I mean, you can take 11 dead men and put them in uniforms of football players, but that don't make them football players. I mean, you can put them up there and say, hey, look at these guys. Don't they look good? They're just dead, though. They ain't doing nothing. I mean, the church is dying from the inside out. And the only way that's going to change is people start praying.
Amen.
We don't spend no time in prayer. And quality prayer, talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I mean, folks, we take that statement, we say, well, we can't lose, and we don't have to worry about it. The Lord's going to take care of it. The Lord expects us to do certain things. And there, you got people sitting in this church right now, their lives are falling apart.
Amen.
And the reason why, you always check it out, they don't spend no time in prayer.
Amen.
You don't have no prayer life.
Yeah.
You don't know God in the sense of fellowshipping with him.
Right.
You don't know how God can minister to your heart.
Amen.
And man, spend time in a prayer room by yourself.
Yes,
what we do is we, when we feel down and feel discouraged, we put it on Facebook. And then everybody responds. I'm praying. But there is no prayer going on.
Right. Yeah.
Just,
yes,
it's just, God help me. There is no quality prayer. The purpose of the church is praying.
Sure.
The church should be on attack, storming the gates of hell. I mean, folks, you know, take your Bible, looking back in Jude. Look what the Bible says in Jude. Look here. In the book of Jude, it says, verse 20 again, but ye beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. It says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and some having compassion, what? Making a what?
Difference.
Having compassion. Look what else it says in verse 23. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. You know what that is? That's people going out and praying and people going out trying to win souls to Jesus Christ and pulling people from the fire.
Right.
Pulling people from the fiery trials they're going through by prayer.
Right.
Man, we come together. We think when we come together, we expect God to show up without no prayer, no preparation, no nothing.
Yep.
We expect God to show up. Look what the Bible says. Look what it says here. It says, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that's able to keep you from what? Falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I mean, folks, we don't prepare ourselves for worship. We don't prepare ourselves to come in and pray for lost loved ones. We come together on Wednesday night. We have a long list of prayers. We raise our hand. Let's pray. And we pray, but we don't really have the Holy Ghost of God like it should be in our lives. And getting a hold of God for our loved ones. Praying for them. And I'll tell you what, if we started earnestly praying. Now, I'm not saying we don't all the time. We do, but there's times where we've been getting hit. We've been backing up. Especially me, I've been backing up. And I'm getting, man, what in the world else is going to happen? Man, what in the world else is going to happen? I keep backing up and I'm praying. But I tell you, not like I should. God forgive me. As a pastor, God forgive me. We should be charging the gates of hell. The Bible says God's a man of war. And I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ. I mean, we are living in a day and age. I realize this. We're in Revelation chapter 3. We're studying the book of Revelation Wednesday night. But we're in Revelation chapter 3 as the Laodicean church. You know what the Laodicean church is? The Laodicean church is the rights of the people. It's my right. I want this. And we got this day and age. We got this mentality. Men can be women. Women can be men. Women don't have to follow their husbands. And the husbands don't have to lead the family. This is the day and age which we live. The fathers don't have to lead the home. Mothers don't have to obey the husband. Our children don't have to obey the parents. That's why kids are getting killed on the streets of all of the major cities every night. Somebody's failing. It seems like the gates of hell are coming closer rather than we should be pushing them back. As a church, we should be pushing the gates of hell backwards and storming them, trying to deliver folks from hell, trying to deliver them from out of that fiery furnace. You know, the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and God got upset with them. Why? God didn't bring them out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. He didn't bring them out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. God brought them out to go in and conquer the land. That's what he brought them out for. And then what happened was God sent 12 spies out. Thank God for Joshua and Caleb. Those two guys, man, they went out and they said, man, looks like I'm sure they were paired up with each other. The other 10 were paired up with each other and they were discouragers. They were always finding fault. They were always the one just telling everybody, we can't do it. No way. We can't do that. Ain't no way. Look how big they are. But Joshua and Caleb, they were together. They said, man, oh, man, look at this. God's going to bless us. Man, we can take the land with no problem. I mean, here, God's given us the strength, and the Lord is with us. You see what he did to the Red Sea? Did you see what he did to Egypt? Did you see what God did? I mean, God's able. He's able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. God's able. They got back to the camp, and the 10 were already there, sitting in a little huddle. We can't do it. And Joshua and Caleb came up and said, what's the matter with you guys? We can do it.
Amen.
And God got upset. And God said, this whole generation is going to die off. They're not going to go in. And Joshua and Caleb, God said, they're going to live to see it. They're going to live to go be able to go in the land. The other generation, they said, they got, oh, God, forgive us. And they took off and tried to go into the land, and they got almost wiped out.
Right.
Folks, the purpose of the church is to go forward offensively and be prepared for defense. When the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, it gives you a shield of faith, the fiery darts of the wicked. It says a helmet of salvation. Why? To keep your mind straight. Why? Because you think about yourself too much.
Yeah.
You think about me, 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 why me, why me, why me all the time.
Amen.
I mean, you think about, man, you got to put the helmet of salvation on. You got to have the sword of the Spirit. Why? Because you're going to get attacked.
Yeah.
And you better learn to fight back. It's time for the church to start fighting back.
Yes, sir.
So how you fight, preacher? There is no leg guards. You fight back on your knees through prayer in the Holy Ghost. Asking God to move. Asking God to help my brothers and sisters in Christ. Those that are facing divorce. Those that are facing health problems. Those that are going through all kinds of drug problems. Drinking and all the other stuff that goes along with it.
Amen.
We had people get victory over drugs. And then, man, one day, an evil day came and they went back out. So, man, that's just weakness. Yeah, it's weakness on their part. But it's also weakness on our part. By not praying. Asking God to help them. Asking God to direct them. The purpose of the church is to pray. I mean, that's our weapon. It's one of our weapons. It's one of the greatest weapons we have. It's the prayer. It's we're supposed to get a hold of God. Yeah, as a child of God, people ask you, will you pray for my loved one? Will you pray for this one? Will you pray for that one? Man, that's our purpose as a church, is to pray. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I mean, folks, he's a doubt. And then he tells Peter, he says, and Peter, I'll tell you what, God's going to use you. God's going to fill you one day. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up there, even though he denied the Lord. He said, can a person have a second chance? Oh, yes, sir. They can have a second, third chance. Peter got a second chance. Peter denied Jesus Christ, one of the worst things you could ever do. Sit out there, blankety blank, I don't even know the man. And the Bible says, I believe it's in the book of Mark, that Jesus turned and looked at him, and their eyes met. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. But on the day of Pentecost, Peter, man, was back in the saddle, brother.
Amen.
He was back up.
Hey.
His neck might have been broke, but he won a Super Bowl. Amen.
Yeah.
Peter got back up and went on the day of Pentecost and preached, and 3,000 people were added to the church. Why? Prayer. Prayer. Say, can a person have a second chance? Oh, yes, man.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I've seen people, men, have 10 chances, and God finally,
amen,
they get their thing, get their act together. But the purpose of the church is prayer. That's one of our weapons to be able to fight. I mean, take your Bible, look into Acts chapter 12. Look at here. Acts chapter 12. Peter wasn't even worried about it anymore, man. He wasn't worried about dying. When he was out there beside the fire with all of God's enemies, and he was standing up there, and he said, curse. They said, you're one of them. He said, no, I ain't. And they said, yes, you are. And he said, no, I ain't. I ain't one of his disciples. And they kept accusing him. And, man, finally, on the day of Pentecost, he gets up and preaches. And then on Acts chapter 12, they take him in, man. They took James, the Lord's brother, and killed him and all that. And then verse 2 of chapter 12. And then finally, Peter, man, he gets apprehended, verse 4. And when they had apprehended him, they put him in a prison and delivered him to four corners of soldiers to keep him, intending to after Easter to bring him out to forth to the people. And Peter, therefore, was kept in the prison, and prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I mean, the church got together. So what church was that? They was in Rhoda's house. They were praying. They were asking God all night long. And you know what happened? You know what happened? Rhoda, she didn't believe God answered the prayer. God answered their prayer, and Peter gets taken out by an angel. An angel goes into the prison, releases him, and breaks the chains. Just the chains fell off of him. And the Bible says the angel brought a deep sleep on all the soldiers. You know those soldiers end up dying for Peter being escaped? Those men died because they lost their prisoner. And what does Peter do? Does he run? No. They find him again back in the temple preaching. Why? The purpose of the church is to pray. That's one of our weapons. You want to see God move? You want to see God do something? Stop praying just for me. Just for yourself. Stop praying, gimme, 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 gimme. Stop praying for the child to win the lottery. Stop praying for that stupid stuff. Start praying for souls to be saved. Start praying for your loved ones. Start praying for your family, your family members. Start praying for your children. God put the fear of God in them. And man, that they would grow up and love God. But I'm going to tell you something. You better have a prayer time, an altar time with your kids. You better have a time where you're spending time with those kids and teaching them. Jordan, the other day, I was saying, you know, Jesus Christ was our Superman. I mean, the world's going crazy after superheroes. Everybody wants to be a superhero. They walk around. You know why? They live in a fantasy land. They go to the movies and they said, this top movie, this superhero movie went top. It was above this one and above that. And it hit a mark. Everybody wants to be the superhero and they think they imagine themselves. I remember when I was a kid, we went to see Bruce Lee movies. And we come out, Bruce Lee, we're all karate experts, man. We're chopping each other in the head, in the face and everything. And nothing wrong with a kid having an imaginary mind. You don't want to take that away from them. But I'll tell you what, too much of that junk, they'll grow up thinking they're superheroes. You see guys walking around the mall. They got, you know, the superhero. One guy, man, I'll tell you what, Star Trek. I couldn't believe it, man. There was people coming in there looking like Chewie. Their whole golden life was to be Chewie. How in the world, man? They're living in a fantasy world. They come in and doing the Spock signs. They make their ears come up like it. What in the world, man? What is the matter with them? You know what they are? They're living in a fantasy world. Say, so, well, I'm supposed to win them to Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to love them, amen? As a pastor, I'm supposed to direct the church. I'm supposed to lead the church as a pastor. If I don't do my job, God will replace me. And if you don't do your job, the great commission the Lord gave. He says, occupy till I come. Amen. The weapons that God's given us is prayer. Peter's taken out of the prison in Acts chapter 12 by people praying. You don't know, we don't know what we might face tomorrow. None of us do. We don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. We better be in prayer. If not, I've said it again. It'll either make us or it'll break us.
Amen.
I want the Lord to make me. I want to be stronger in my faith. I want to be stronger in my stand. Prayer was made for Peter. You know what Samuel said? He said about Saul. Look, take your Bible, look in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Look back in 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, look what Paul said. I mean, Samuel said. 1 Samuel chapter 12, look at verse 23. Look at this. We got young men that Lord's, they feel like the Lord's called them to preach. You young guys, I feel like the Lord's called you to preach. Will you stand up? Stand up. If you feel like, anybody in the room, if you feel like you're called to preach, stand up. Stand up. Church, look at this. Church, look at this. Now, look at this. We don't pray for these guys. What's going to happen to them? Appreciate you guys. We got to pray God would weed out stuff in their life. Stuff that God's not pleased with, and God would show it to them. We don't have to be the Holy Ghost and go up and tell them, you know, you better, blah, 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 blah. You ain't got to do that. I'm not that kind of pastor. I don't go up and tell people what they need to be doing. I'll preach. But I don't walk up unless there's something circumstance that comes up, I have to deal with it, which I don't want to be the one to tell them. I want the Lord to tell them. I want the Holy Ghost of God to show them. I don't want to be that kind of dictator pastor, go up and say, you better, and all the ways point my finger at them. I don't want to be that kind of pastor. I never have been that kind of person. I pray God help them. God, if I see a weakness in them, I pray for them. And you can see a weakness in me, pray for me. I'm praying for them. The purpose of the church is pray. That's our weapon. And pray for these guys called to preach. 1 Samuel chapter 12. I don't know if I have time to finish this message, but 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Look what he says. verse 21, and he turned not aside, and then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver. Look what he says back up to verse 19. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants on the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things. That's what happens when a guy is called to preach. The God of this world will try to get you to go after vain stuff that don't amount to nothing. And we get caught up in it. We get caught up in vain junk.
Amen.
And then he says, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not, for ye have done all this wickedness. Verse 21, and ye should turn not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. And the Lord will not forsake his people for this great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you this people. He said, it pleased God to make you his people. You know, we're God's people here this morning. We belong to the Lord. We're his children. We're more than what the children of Israel were. We're his children. We're a bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, now through Jesus Christ. They didn't have that. Look at verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. Look what it says. You say, preacher, if we don't pray, are we sinning? If we don't pray one for another, the Bible tells us to do that. Pray for the lost. Pray for our missionaries. Are we sinning? Yes, we are. He said, moreover, for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. We sang that song, God is good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams. If we believe that, which we know that, don't cease in praying. Church, Brother Tommy, you just had a kiddie camp. You had all those kids there. I hope you pray for them. And spend you and Anna spend time writing their names down, praying over that list of those kids, that God would bless them. Michael, Shane, Miss April, these teenagers going to camp, and other teenagers got that list. Pray over them. My job is to pray over everything, over everybody. That's my job. I want to do my job better by prayer. The purpose of the church is to pray. We need to pray for these teenagers going to camp. Man, we came back from Youth Ablaze. Somebody sent me a picture of George with Earl and who else was it?
Lane
and Tyler. George was behind him making faces. I'm going to tell you something. His prayer's not going to go unanswered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
He prayed for you. He came to me, I don't know how many times, asked me, preacher, will you pray? We prayed together. The purpose of the church is prayer. He says, man, God forbid that I should cease praying. The purpose of our church is prayer. It's called the house of prayer. We need to get a hold of God. I'll tell you another weapon that we have is the word of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 or chapter 4. Take your Bible, look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Jesse and I was coming up the road this morning. We just started talking about it. Got crying. We're hurting. We're all hurting, especially April's hurting. We pray. Have you prayed for her? Pray for Landon. Pray for the family. We're all hurting, but she's hurting more. The Word of God is a weapon. We need to spend time in the Word of God. People stay in bondage because of ignorance of the Word of God. In the ignorance of the Word of God, I'll tell you what, I'm amazed how people stay in ignorance and stay in bondage. You know what set me free? Was getting to know this book. Getting to study the Word of God and getting to know it better. That's what set me free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's a weapon.
Amen.
The word of God.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says this. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, even the divine discerner of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, of the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Failures we have. I realize, Father, we're going to have setbacks. But they're not complete failures if we're praying, if we're in the Word of God.
Yeah.
We're going to have setbacks, but they're not failures if we're in the Word of God and we're spending time. That's our weapon. The Bible says the Word of God is a weapon. It's a sword. You have a sword. And that weapon, you got an arm length, almost 3 foot. And you have a sword maybe 3 to 4 foot long. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to thee. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But what happens to a lot of our people, they put the sword down. They become conscientious objectors. And they say, we're not going to fight. I'm not going to fight the world. I'm not going to fight the devil. I'm not even going to fight myself. I'm going to give myself whatever I want. And they become in bondage. Ignorance. Ignorance of the Word of God. The purpose of the church is to put the Word of God out. I hear about churches, they've gotten rid of the King James Bible. They get rid of preaching. So all they have is song service. Or they have a skit or play. Which is, I like skits. I like song service. I like it, man. I like it. Singing's hot. I like it, man. I like good old type singing. But you can't build a church on just singing. You can't build a church just on plays. You got to build it on prayer and on the Word of God, the biblical truths.
Amen.
The Word of God is the weapon that we fight with. We don't fight each other. What happens is a lot of people think, well, you know, the Word of God we have in our hands is to cut each other's throats. You're supposed to know who your enemy is.
Yeah.
You're supposed to know who your allies are. You're supposed to know your brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want to hurt none of y'all. I don't want none of y'all to get hurt. If I'm preaching and something hurts you and something hits you, man, if I said personally in my own testimony, I said the other day I was talking about, you know, I want to do it myself and all that, and I said, that was just pride. So Quickie came to me and said, man, was that pride or what? I said, yeah, that was a lot of pride. That was stupid. My pride. We all got pride.
Yeah.
He says the gates of hell should not prevail against us. But you know what's happening in churches today? The gates of hell prevailed against them, local churches. They're closing up. They're quitting. You know, a church shouldn't have to close its doors. A church shouldn't have to quit. Take your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 28. Look what Jesus says. And I'm going to get ready to quit on this. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. We're hurting. We're knocked down, but we're not knocked out. We're going to get back up. And we're not talking about the past. We want to talk about the future.
Yeah.
We want to be offensive and defense. Have defense ready, just in case. Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 18. Matthew 28, 18. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto you, unto me, and heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Talking about himself. He said, now you go. I'm going to give you power. And when Peter got up preaching on the day of Pentecost, he had power. When he got locked up in the prison, he had power. And God's people started praying. The Great Commission is a purpose that we have. The purpose we have is prayer. The purpose we have is the Word of God. And I'll tell you something else. The last purpose we have is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be glorifying him with our lives. The purpose of the church is to glorify Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, look at here. Ephesians 3, and look at verse 21. He says, unto him be glory. Unto him be glory.
Amen.
Now, unto him, look what back up to verse 18. It says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. It says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. The Lord wants to do a great thing through the church. He wants to use us. He wants God's power in the church.
Right.
I want to see the power of God in the church. I want to see the power of God in the home. I want to see the power of God wherever we go.
Yeah.
Have God's purpose and has God's direction in our lives. The purpose of the church is to glorify Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the what? Glory of God. Whatever we're supposed to be doing as a church is prayer, is the Word of God, is to glorify Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's not only in the church, but in our lives, in our personal lives. Take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Like I said, the church, God chose the church. If we look at this thing here, you got the church age. That's 2,000 years, the church age. It's been going on for 2,000 years. The early church started out, man, they started out on fire. It'd be a blessing, even though we read Revelation chapter 3, and it talks about the rights of the people, the Laodicean church. And they said, we're rich, we have need of nothing. But I've always prayed that our church would be like the Philadelphian church age, that God would give us an open door, and God would call men to preach. God would call ladies to be ladies and to be wives of good men and Christian men that love God. Our young people would grow up loving the Lord Jesus Christ and getting married. I've got a picture somebody brought me the other day of right sitting out front of the church. I think it was Madison brought it to me. And right in front of the church on the steps, we was getting ready to go somewhere, and there was Eric sitting there on the step. He was sitting on the top step. He was like, I don't know, 10, 11 years old. There with Bethany on the bottom step, down near the middle of the step. And Madison said, look, Papa, there's Eric, there's Bethany right there. And they said, isn't that something? And Madison was sitting there, Abigail was sitting there, Tori was sitting there, and little Heath was there, and David was there, and a whole bunch of the kids were there on that platform, sitting out there on them steps. And she said, there's two couples sitting right there that was in the church. Two couples got married. I said, isn't that something? She said, if Nikki was there, it would have been three couples. But she said, wasn't that something? Man, ain't that a blessing? They meet, they grow up in church. They meet each other, and they fall in love, and they stay in the church.
Amen.
Man, what a blessing. The purpose of the church is to glorify Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that always happens that way. I'm just saying that it could. It could. Pastor's job is to lead them, not to beat them. I want to lead the church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at this in verse 19. Verse 19 says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, I was walking around, I was thinking, yesterday or the day before, I was thinking, I haven't been singing like I used to. I used to sing all the time. And I thought, what I do is I try to examine myself. And with all this stuff happening and all the stuff we've been through, I notice I haven't been singing. Usually I walk around and I think what it hit me was Alex started singing yesterday. Yeah, I know. And I thought, man, he's off key and everything. And man. But then the Holy Ghost of God said to me, you haven't been singing.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
I've been waking up with no song like I used to have. And I thought, Lord, I'm letting this thing beat me down. I'm letting it get me. I asked God, forgive me for it. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. My job is to glorify him. Your job is to glorify him. The purpose of the church is to glorify him.
Amen.
Even though we've been through a heavy burden. tribulation and heartaches. The purpose of the church is prayer. We need to pray more. Can everybody say amen to that?
Amen.
We need to spend more time in the Word of God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We get so caught up in our own selves, our own hurts, our own things. The way I try to stay, I try to stay busy. That way I don't think about it. I'll fix this, fix that, work on this, work on that. I'll try to stay busy. But then I thought, I lost my song. It's still there, but I haven't been singing it. I haven't been glorifying Him. In the church, we got to glorify Him. The purpose of the church, that's our purpose. There's a lot more. There's a lot more we could say. But that's our purpose. Prayer. I mean, man, the Word of God. Evangelizing, trying to get people in. We shouldn't be backing off bus routes. We should be adding more bus routes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We shouldn't be, you know, Eric goes out, him and his wife, visitation, just by themselves. There should be more people going.
Yeah.
More people doing more. He said, preacher, I'm overwhelmed. I know. I feel like I've been overwhelmed. I feel like I've been beat down. But I had to think about it. I had to walk around, and I'm trying to analyze my own life and saying, God. And the Lord showed me. We're doing it, going in the right direction. But we got to get back on track. Glorify Him. Get more in the Word of God. Get more in prayer. It's been a rough 6 months. But you think about this. The church went through a lot worse than we ever imagined.
Yeah. Yeah.
The church of Jesus Christ has suffered so much. But the Bible says when they were beaten in Acts chapter 5 or chapter 4, they went away glorifying God,
amen,
saying that they could suffer for Jesus Christ. Give God the glory. Whatever you're going through, the suffering, say, Lord, if you're pleased with this, I give it to you. It's yours. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Have mercy on me. Pray for one another. Pray for our church. Spend more time. Purpose of the church. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. Our church needs prayer. Our folks need prayer. There's, like I said, there's divorce going on. There's families hurting. There's young men called to preach. Young ladies wanting to serve the Lord. We don't need to give up now. Matter of fact, we need to go on and stronger and stand for Him. And the Lord will add to the church. Like I said, I like bigness. I like to see people coming. I like to see people getting saved. But we do our job. God will move. We haven't seen anybody walk the aisle in a while. We haven't seen anybody really come forward to get saved. What's going on? It's our job to pray. It's our job to go out and try to get people in, to get them to come to hear the Word of God. And maybe they get under the sound of the Word of God and they get saved. What a blessing that would be. Folks, let's not give up. We might be down, but we're not knocked out. Like I said, Peyton, I thought about Peyton Manning. They said he's done. Broke his neck. Neck operation. Came back and won the Super Bowl. This could be the brightest moment of our church right now. To step up. In the middle of trials and persecution and suffering. And our families can succeed. And we see people, more people saved. Our loved ones getting right with God. We need to see God move. And like I said, failures that we have is prayer failures. We need to pray. Father, thank you, God, for your mercy. My Father, I pray, God, move in our midst. Lord, we need something from you. And God, but most of all, we need to pray. We don't want to be like that crowd sitting there, that 10 spies that came back and said, no way we can do it. No way. No way. And Lord, you got mad at them because they were doubting your power. They doubted your ability. Your ability to lead them and guide them. Lord, I don't want to doubt your ability for our church, for our lives. I know you give us a part. Our part for the church is to pray and to seek you, praying in the Holy Ghost. My Father, the Word of God, being powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting us as well as cutting the world. Help us, Lord God, to be more like you. Help us to glorify you in the house of God. Help us to glorify you in our own home. Help us give you praise. Help our kids. Help our kids, Lord, to want to be more like you. Rather than living in a fantasy world, I know men that are 50 years old still living in a fantasy world. Never get off the couch. Just living in a fantasy world. Playing video games. God, help us to be Father on fire. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would move in our midst. Touch each heart. My Father God, help us determine our hearts and minds that there's going to be a change. We're going to take back some ground. We're going to go forward. We're going to be on the offense. And Lord, thank you again for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I pray, God, you help us, Father, fight on. Fight on. God is a man of war. And Lord, you want us to fight the principalities and powers. Daniel was praying. He prayed, and God, you sent an angel to answer his prayer, but he was held up by the prince of Persia. But God, he got through my praying. I pray, God, that you would allow our prayers to go through. And God, move in our midst. Help us see souls saved. Help us see people restored. Help us see lives changed. God, I know you're able to deliver people from drugs and drunkenness and pornography and all this other junk that's defeating people, destroying people. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Oh, God, help us, Lord God. Help us to seek you. Save that soul today. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. How many can say, preacher, God spoke to my heart this morning about some things? Amen. Amen. All in the room. Amen. God spoke to my heart earlier. Amen. Let's do something. Let's not sit around talk about the good old days. Let's talk about what we're going to do for God and accomplish some things for his glory. I'm sorry. I've been backing up. I'm sorry. I've been wanting to back up because of the troubles. But what I wanted to do is just regroup. Jesus took disciples aside for a little while to pray and to rest. Just trying to regroup. Lord, helping me. We're going to go forward. We're going to continue on. We're not knocked out. We're going to go on. Amen. We want to see people saved, our family members. And let's spend more time in prayer. Spend more time in the Word of God. Spend more time glorifying him. Ask God to give us a song back that we might be able to sing praises to him. Amen. Father, thank you again today, Father, for your mercy. I pray you encourage families here today. Strengthen them, Lord. I wasn't trying to hurt nobody. I wasn't trying to say anything to hurt anybody. But God, I pray you just please help our families that are struggling. Help those that are going through problems. Oh, my Father, I know you're able to restore. And I pray, God, you restore some people. Lord, we've got folks going out on drugs, not wanting to get right. I pray, God, they're your children. I pray, God, get a hold of them. Get a hold of them. Help them to God. I know you're a God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances. Get a hold of them, Lord. Help them to realize, God, what is their life. And God, our purpose as a church is not to hate people, not to be hard on people, it's to love people and care for them, to see people saved, but preach holiness and righteousness and preach what's right. Stand for biblical truth. Preach against sin. You said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Help us to charge hell and try to deliver those that are behind the gates that's the devil trying to destroy. Help our brothers and sisters today, God. Help them, God, be delivered, God, from that chains of sin. And we'll thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Save that one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.